Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Monday. Monday's a good day to kick off talking about Jesus. And I want to jump back in this week to the book of Hebrews. We spent some time there last week. But before I do, thank you for stopping by. Thank you for being a part of our journey and our channel. If you're new to this channel, be sure and subscribe. And if you're not new and haven't subscribed, do so. That gives us a little more horsepower on the internet. Also on Facebook, you can like us. I want you to like us. Okay. Well, Mondays always are beginning of, it seems like, a new threshold of something. We are emotionally and socially cut up or segregated in weeks and months and years. That's the way we've always been raised, and that's the way we think. God has seasons that are not necessarily connected to the calendar. Matter of fact, I don't think they are any on our calendar. He's got a calendar that I know he has connection to, that he's keeping up on. But when it comes to a Monday or a Friday or a January, you know, or Christmas time, the move of God, the will of God, and the seasons of God are not on the calendar. They're really in the development and the obedience of the body of Christ. And in your individual life, they are regulated by your obedience and your development. So we want to talk about developing the eye of the future for us personally. If we can have a personal vision of the future, then we can also have a corporate vision of the future. One of the things, and I know I repeat this often, because it's really a large issue, I believe, in the development of the body of Christ. If the body of Christ can be kept in a ignorant or at least an undeveloped understanding, an undeveloped stage of knowledge and insight. Scripture says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." So if we can keep the body of Christ, I'm talking about leaders and pastors and teachers, the Protestant revolution or Reformation developed its own hierarchy. I mean, they got out of the Catholic Church because they didn't want to be under the thumb of the Pope and be told what to do by the bishops and be directed, you know, by the local fathers. So the church then jumped out of the frying pan into the fire, in a sense. They set up their own bureaucracies. Now, if you've never been in a denomination, you don't know what I'm talking about, but if you've been in one, you know that we have the hierarchy. We have the superintendent, we have the president, and law is passed down through the chain of authority. And if you're a lowly pastor in one of the churches that has the name of the denomination on it, then you jump to when headquarters sends you an order. That's where the word independent kind of shines, I believe, because I'm convinced in my experience with pastoring that a church is like an airport. An airport, you can land anywhere you want to land if you're flying an airplane. But you cannot land if you have an emergency. If you have an emergency and you land in an airport without permission, you'll get by with it, and they'll say, well, too bad for your emergency. Get it fixed and get out of here. You know, take off. But if you land in an airport without permission, then you can get fined, and do it enough times, you'd lose your license. So it is with the body of Christ. I believe there is authority, and there is not levels of, you know, who's more important in God's sight, but in the function of the church, there is authority. The pastor, the apostles, the prophets, we all have a certain amount of voice into the body of Christ, but not at the expense of a dumbed down congregation. I didn't say a dumb congregation singularly, but a dumbed down congregation. And one of the things that has dumbed us down is the inability to see the future. And one of our biggest doctrines in some churches is the last day events. Some of the churches, some of the people I know more about their theology about the coming of the Lord, last day events, tribulation, man of, you know, the man of sin, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, blood up to the belly of the horse, and 7 days and 7 years of tribulation, and Daniel and Matthew 25. Oh my, it gets really complicated. And if you don't know it all, you can tune in to some of these sweet brothers and sisters that are very sincere and have a wall full of charts. And they'll tell you timelines, and they'll show you why it's going to happen here and why it's going to happen there. That's their vision of the future. They see us escaping. They see us getting out of here. Just today or so, I had a man tell me, I was talking about things and how things were going. He says, well, we just need the coming of the Lord. Okay, not denying the coming of the Lord. Don't put me in that category. That's like being a leper, if you ever indicate that. And rightly so, we believe the coming of the Lord will happen at its proper time. But I don't believe it's going to be on Thursday. You know why? Because of the developing church, body of Christ, because of the developing kingdom of God on earth, because of the maturing and the ripening of the fruit of the church. It's not there yet. We're not going to go home half-baked. We're not going to go home half-done. Nothing worse than pulling the bread out of the oven and it's not cooked. God's going to take home and come at a completion of his seed that he planted on earth when he said, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. He is going to have a completed harvest. Now, Scripture tells us in the book of Matthew that when the seed goes in the ground, and when it comes to harvest immediately, when it comes to ripe, when it's ripened, when it's to its maturity, immediately the sickle comes in and takes the harvest. You cannot tell me with any sense of seriousness to look at the church, body of Christ, in its general view and say that we are mature and full bloomed in God. Not there. So does that mean that we just sit back on our laurels? My dad's favorite word, I guess, when he was talking about the church, sitting back on your laurels. It's an old word for just on your haunches or on your bottom end and relaxing. No. We go to work, we develop, we mature, we disciple, we teach, we preach, we plant seed, we sow seed, And we harvest. Harvesting is a part of our job in the soul winning and the developing and bringing in the sheaves, you know, the net and the fish, all that stuff. Okay. All right. Well, how do you develop your eye for the future? First of all, you don't get involved in theology and biblical teaching that there is no future. You want to see what the world sees as the future? Look at some of these Hollywood movies, all the dark movies they make about destruction and empty cities and pandemics and worldwide death and atom bombs blowing up and the world collapsing and the aliens coming and taking us, you know, to another planet. Come on. Come on. God has a plan that is not going to end up in some kind of trash heap. So how do we develop our eye for the future? You begin to see your future through the revelation of Jesus Christ and faith in the fact that he has a future that is not disastrous, that is not going to be half done. We're not going to sneak out in some secret rapture like they did in Afghanistan. What a crime that has been this last week, where our army, biggest, strongest, most equipped army in the world, snuck out at night. That's not the church. The church is not sneaking out in some secret rapture and leaving the world to go to hell in a handbasket. No. We are salt and light. We plant and we harvest. And the scripture says, when the harvest is ripe, then the end shall come. All right. So how do you tell if we're a ripe harvest? I want to go into the book of Hebrews this week, if you'll spend some days with me in mornings, in these morning sessions. And we're going to talk about the word maturity or perfection. One of the things that the church has put off into the future, you know, heaven, this mysterious, ethereal heaven where you're there and you don't know why or how and sitting around waiting for eternity to pass and all the speculation. They put off this word perfection till then. They put off the word perfection until Jesus comes. And then when Jesus comes, everything is going to be perfect and perfection is then. No. Perfection is a here and now thing. Perfection is a Bible thing. Perfection is a fancy word for growing up and being a mature saint. Knowing the Lord intimately. Face to face. So we're going to deal with that this week, but you cannot see your future without the eye of faith that sees the developed end. The eye of faith that sees the developed end. Jesus went to the cross and he saw you and I. That's how he was able to endure the shame and the pain and the suffering, because he had the eye of faith for the future. Now, when we lay hands on the sick, we have the eye of faith for healing. We can see that person healed in that eye of faith. When we stand to preach to a congregation of any kind, a crowd of people on the street, in a prison, in a crusade, there is something about the eye of faith. You can see those hungry hearts and in the altar, in the kingdom, converted. When we go to the mission field, we see we have an eye of faith for the harvest of that mission field. When we take our tithe and put it into the storehouse, we have the eye of faith. We see something being done in the storehouse, and then God said he would reward us back with a multiplication of increase. That's the eye of faith. Now, you know that I believe in the muscle of faith that needs to be exercised. so that I that you see in the future, a draftsman, an architect, a designer, has something here that has to get on paper or nowadays in the computer. There's an eye up here. It's called I see something. And they develop it. They develop the skill to put that vision on in the computer or on paper or on the draftsman board. And then the engineer comes along, takes that draft or that blueprint as a builder would, and takes it out to a blank piece of dirt, and he can see the building through that eye of faith. I want you to see yourself righteous, healed, redeemed, at peace. I want you to see your finances strong. I want you to see your relations, your relationship strong and healed. That's the eye of faith. And that's something I'm telling you. Develop it by using it. Develop it by exercising it. Amen. We call it the imagination. We call it dreaming. You can call it a number of things that have to do with cultivating that creativity that God gave you. I've referred to my grandkids quite a bit because we've got some. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm taken back to when my children were young. Children are so wonderfully impressive. My little grandson, he's got an imagination that's amazing because he's a kid. He can the cars talk, and he can be anything he wants. You show up and he's a transformer. Next day he's a spaceman because he can dream. Dream a little bit with me this week, will you? Let's see if we can see by the eye of faith and imagine. Dream of the future and see a church that's mature and see a body of Christ that functions, not when we get to heaven, but now on earth, unified and together. Scripture says, they shall know you are my disciples by the love you have one for another, not by church fights and divisions and who's the king of the walk this week. No. Now, the love you have one for another, that's a prophetic word. That's a prophetic word for the church. Well, I bless you today. I release this word for this Monday to you as we jump into another exciting and powerful time together in the kingdom of God by faith in the Word of God. Until tomorrow morning, we love you guys. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up, do so. You can see where to give if God's nudging you to send us a financial blessing right in the notes below. Send us to PayPal or by the address with that mailbox. We will see you in the morning.